The quest to defend more than just a championship lives right here. New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the CLNS Radio Patriots postgame show powered by FanDuel. We remind you to call us on the FanDuel phone lines all show long at 929-477-2386. I'm Mike Alonji here with Bill Bodell, and the Patriots bounce back with a big win over the Houston Texans, 27-6. Dominant win on all fronts. A bunch of things to talk about. The Patriots, in one day, all of a sudden, after staring at a three seed and having to go to the first round playoff game, are now in the driver's seat with the number one seed in the AFC after a win, improved to 11-2 on the season. Houston Texans dropped to 6-7. So, Bill, there's a lot of things to talk about in this game. Obviously, it did not come without cost. A bunch of, you know, could potentially critical injuries in this game. But let me get your thoughts on the game as a whole to start out with before we get in depth into everything.
It's a great win. A lot better time we're going to have tonight, Mike, than last week. You know, coming off that, you know, pass count came in, played great tonight, especially the defense. So great seeing a win. Offense put up 30 points. You know, just clicked and vibed a lot better tonight than the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was a solid win. It was, I really liked what both lines did. I'm talking offensive line and I'm talking defensive line. I love what I saw. You know, the defensive line was, you know, getting through, getting to everybody. Jabal Sheard had a huge game, strip sack. You know, Jerod Mayo had a big game in the run game. You know, Jamie Collins obviously had a big game. The front seven looked great. The secondary played great. I thought Logan Ryan had a huge game going up against DeAndre Hopkins. He had some safety help for the most part, but there were times where he was stuck on him one-on-one, and he shut him down. You know, DeAndre Hopkins finished the game with, let's see here, he finished the game with three catches for 52 yards, and that really doesn't do it justice because he had the long 40-yard catch late in the game. So we're talking, you know, two catches for 12 yards for one of the best receivers in football. So great game by him. You know, Malcolm Butler gets burned early, comes back, plays a great game, covering Nate Washington up for the rest of the game. You know, defensively, look, it was a really impressive game by them. Only gave up 6 points, didn't give up a touchdown. Even when they lost the ball and, you know, on that muff punt by Keyshawn Martin, you know, Texans get the ball deep in their own in New England territory. Patriots hold them to a field goal. You know, it was a great, great defensive effort by them. You know, and obviously on offense, Rob Gronkowski is back. We woke up this morning, found out, hey, Rob Gronkowski's, you know, probably going to go in this game. We see that he's active. He comes in, maybe limited, maybe not. He wasn't limited at all. Comes in, has a big game, 4 catches for 87 yards and a touchdown, including a big 45-yarder. You know, the offense is 100% different with Rob Gronkowski playing, and, you know, you saw that tonight. So, I mean, all around, I thought it was an extremely dominant game at a time when the Patriots needed to have a dominant win. They needed to, you know, have a solid game on all fronts. You know, the punt, still going to be an issue. I don't know what we're going to do with people returning punts back there. You know, Keyshawn Martin was doing a great job until he muffed the punt. Then all of a sudden, Danny Amendola's back there. So that's still a revolving door, it looks like. But for the most part, Bill, I thought, you know, on all fronts, this was a fantastic win for the Patriots.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. Overall, very good win, good performance. Like you said, the defensive line played fantastic tonight. They're getting out their Hoyer a lot. I think they had around 6-7 sacks overall for the night. So that's great. You know, we talked about it last week. This defense is the best when they're getting after the quarterback, and we didn't really see too much last week against Philly. Started off slow tonight against Houston, not really getting after the quarterback. Then more in the second half, once we saw them, you know, get after Hoyer, you know, the game changed. The game changed completely, and it helps overall. It helps the offense, helps the secondary. You know, getting after the punt returns, I don't know what's going on with the special teams right now. I do not recall a time where I've seen this team, you know, plays so bad on special teams. You know, Martin with the drop, and I believe it was Justin Coleman, and who was right there, to, rolled over on it and missed it. You know, that's something you have to look forward, look to fix moving forward. You know, I used to hate having Julian Edelman back there for punts just because how valuable and important he was to this offense, but I completely understand it now, just how good he is at not even just returning the ball, just holding on to it.
It's absolutely critical. I mean, you can see it. I mean, that, you know, Patriots had a pretty comfortable lead at that point, but still, that was, you know, that turned into a game changer in the Denver game when they were up 14, you know what I mean? So you never know what the game can turn on, and yeah, you need a solid guy back there who's going to return, we're going to, you know, catch the ball for you. I don't even care if they fair catch it every single time, just catch it and get the possession. You know, like I said, Keyshawn Martin did a good job for the most part early in the game. He had a couple of nice kick returns, you know, a good punt return, and then the muff, and he's on the bench now. You know, Amendola's in there returning punts. So I think probably next week you'll see Amendola back there again. I think he's probably your best option at this point, to be honest. And, you know, that it is what it is. Back to the defensive line, you said they got off to a slow start. Absolutely. Finished the game with 6 sacks for a total of 57 yards lost. So, I mean, look at that. That's a huge – I mean, that's a whole half of a field in field position that you gained sacking the quarterback. Great game overall by them. On the other side, Tom Brady only sacked 3 times. J.J. Watt was nowhere to be found. Jadeveon Clowney had a good game, a couple of sacks, but he really, you know, he didn't come on until late in the game when, you know, it was already really out of hand. J.J. Watt finished the game with 3 tackles. You know what I mean? He had nothing today. It was they were double teaming him. You know, they were chipping him out, coming out of the backfield. They brought over Michael Williams to help on blocks. You know, Vollmer and Cannon, respectively, I thought played really well considering they had to go up against guys like Clowney and Watt. But, you know, J.J. Watt was nowhere to be found. He said this week after he broke his hand, oh, it's not going to hinder me. It's not going to hinder me. He looked pretty hindered today. I'm not going to lie. He couldn't get off the line of scrimmage for most of the time, unless he had a head start. And, you know, I thought part of that was, you know, Cannon, Michael Williams, a little bit of Trey Jackson, a little bit of Sebastian Vollmer. But, you know, that hand is definitely an issue for him today.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. You know, J.J. Watt's, you know, probably the best, most feared defender in the league. You know, having that hand wrapped up, you could tell he couldn't push off as well, push off against his blockers. You know, he's really just focused on, you know, that one right hand. And, you know, even though how great he is, no rusher can really just get out to the quarterback and beat off blocks with one hand. You know, you said Jadeveon Clowney played great today, had those 2 sacks. When Marcellus played well tonight, had 1 or 2 sacks for Houston as well. Like you said, Clowney's sacks did come late in the game when the game was more out of hand. So that's a good sign. So that's always good. But, you know, I still think there are some problems for this Patriots offensive line. You know, Shaq Mason did not look that well tonight in pass protection. Something we talked about and seen throughout the year and hopefully, you know, can improve on. But overall, I think good overall win. You know, definitely some things to improve on. But, you know, overall, yeah, well.
Yeah, you know, Josh Klein missed the game today, inactive. And, you know, as much as, you know, I've never been really entirely impressed with Josh Klein, but he has been one of your more consistent offensive linemen this season. He was the only offensive lineman that had started every single game up to this point. So, you know, that's going to be a loss in continuity and things like that. So, you know, for, you know, having lost another guy on the offensive line, I think it was, you know, a pretty good job by them, especially going up against those pass rushes. You know, looking at the stats right now, I'm looking at the splits, and, you know, when's the last time, Bill, you heard that the Patriots ran the ball more than they threw it in a game? I mean, it's been a while, right? They ran the ball 31 times in this game, and Tom Brady threw 30 passes. So, I mean, basically 50-50. We talked about it last week. They were running the ball good early in the game. Last week, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they abandoned the running game. This week, even though they lose LeGarrette Blount in the first half, LeGarrette Blount rushes 10 times for 53 yards in the first half and is just lighting people up. And he leaves the game with a hip injury, downgraded to out for the second half. Brandon Bolden comes in with 16 carries for you in a, you know, 53 yards. So, you know, they rush for 116 yards in the game, you know, in a touchdown. 3.7 yards a carry, not necessarily impressive, but still, you ran the ball 31 times, and, you know, with Tom Brady finished the game 22 for 30 for 226 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, basically as efficient as you can get if you're Tom Brady. you pair that with, you know, running the ball 31 times and killing the clock, that's going to translate into wins every single time. And that's, I think that's more the New England Patriots team you're going to have to see in the playoffs, a running team. Now, we'll see how LeGarrette Blount does. We'll see how this injury looks. I mean, he went into the locker room. They said he got x-rays. No word on that yet, but downgraded to out with a hip injury. And, you know, we lost a couple other guys to injuries in this game. Jonathan Freeney leaves the game with a hand/wrist injury, downgraded to out. Got x-rays. We haven't heard about that yet. And Devin McCourty leaves the game with an ankle injury, downgraded to out. So, and you already didn't have Dont'a Hightower. He was inactive for this game. So, once again, the injury bug is biting the Patriots right in the butt. And, you know, it's starting to get, you know, more critical positions. Devin McCourty, your center fielder, with an ankle injury, you know, if he needed x-rays, that could be a potential issue. You know, Jonathan Freeney, who has been playing well in the place of Dont'a Hightower and, you know, spelling Jerod Mayo, Jamie Collins, he gets hurt. That's a hit at linebacker depth. You know what I mean? So all these injuries, they can't keep piling up like this.
Yeah, I agree with Mike. I've never seen anything like this. I've not seen a team get just so injury-riddled throughout the whole year. You know, it seems it's like every week, you know, we end up losing at least one key player, one starter, one guy's been contributing really well to injury. And you know, tonight we saw that with Blount leaving the game easily. McCourty, Freeney, you know, I just don't understand what's going on right now with how we just keep getting so hurt every week in and week out. We need to, you know, play better. Not play better. We need to stay healthy. It's going to be the biggest key going through into the playoffs. You know, right now we're in that first round bye, you know, number one seed after tonight's win and losses for both Cincinnati and Denver. So, you know, that'll definitely be key going forward. You know, if we can have that week off just to get everybody healthy. But, yeah, like you said, I don't understand what's going on, how we just keep getting these bad breaks every week. Hopefully, you know, none of those guys really suffered anything serious. We can all have them back next week or, you know, or the week after. But this is insane. And, you know, going back to the point where he's running the ball, that was great tonight. I think it's definitely good. Mix the offense up, keep the defense on their toes, knowing what's going on. On the James White touchdown, you know, you saw Wilfork. You saw, I believe it was Marcellus coming off the field for Houston because they lined up, you know, four wide and White in the backfield, and then you just run up ball right up the middle. They're playing a lot of defensive backs out there. That's, you know, just adds key element that just helps the offense move all around. You know, like you said, 3.7 yards per carry isn't truly ideal. You want, you know, in like the 4-4.5 per carry range, but, you know, not having Blount, not having out there is, you know, definitely hinders the running game. Hopefully he's, you know, his injury isn't serious, because I don't know if Brandon Bolden can really truly be the number one, you know, pure running back for this team. You know, he played well tonight at times. You know, break off some big runs and, you know, get sacked. He gets stopped behind the line of scrimmage for, you know, gain of one, if that. So, you know, was running with some power. Hopefully, you know, we can continue this going forward.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, you know, part of the reason why the offensive line played so well against Watt and Clowney was because they ran the ball so well. I think this, you know, with most offensive linemen, you start running the ball, you start getting a real feel and let these guys start bashing into people. All of a sudden, when you drop back in pass protection, they're a little more into it. They're playing better. They got, you know, a little bit of juice behind them. So I think that had something to do with it. But you brought up Cincinnati and Denver, and, you know, Cincinnati loses to Pittsburgh. That's a division loss for them, so it's doubly bad and triply bad because Andy Dalton leaves the game with a fracture in the thumb of his throwing hand. That could be a serious issue for the Bengals going forward if he's going to miss some serious time, because at this point they now need all the wins they can get, because Pittsburgh is absolutely on fire. They're playing Denver next week, and if they can win, they're only a game out of contention in the AFC North. So the Cincinnati Bengals in one day all of a sudden have some real problems at their hands, losing their starting quarterback. Now McCarron came in, he played well in spots. He also threw a couple interceptions. And so, you know, God knows what's going to happen with him. He hasn't played a lot of snaps in the NFL. He, you know, he was a good quarterback at Alabama, but again, that was a running team at Alabama. It was college football for another thing. So you don't know what this guy's going to do. So the Bengals have their issues. You know, Denver loses today. They have to play Cincinnati. You know, if Denver loses to Cincinnati, Cincinnati loses one more game to someone else. The Patriots are firmly entrenched as the number one seed. And, you know, at this point, if the Patriots win out, they're all set. You got three games left. You have Tennessee, the Jets, and the Dolphins. 2 out of 3 are on the road. And like you said, you're going to need that first round bye because you're going to need to start getting these guys healthy. Now, you know, speaking of getting guys healthy, yesterday we didn't really know, is Gronk going to play? Now, he came back to practice, but I think for the most part, the talk throughout the week once he came back to practice was, well, yeah, he's practicing. He probably won't play this week. And then maybe you don't necessarily need him against Tennessee, so maybe you see him back for the Jets game. And I think that was the conventional wisdom going around, you know, the whole city of Boston, was people were saying, okay, well, he probably, you know, he's back practicing. He'll get back in the flow of things. He'll see how his knee feels, and then we'll see what happens. We wake up this morning, and tweets from, you know, Adam Schefter, Diana Rossini from ESPN saying, hey, Gronk, it looks like Gronk's going to play. He might be limited. We're going to see how it goes. He's active to start the game, and he comes in, like I said, 4 catches for 87 yards and a touchdown. He did not play limited snaps. He was out there. He was blocking. He played a great game. And, you know, like I said at the top of the show, it's crucial when he has to be in the lineup because your entire offense changes. People got to pay attention to him. And, you know, the second that they don't, he rips you for a 45-yard gain, just barreling up the middle. You know, that big touchdown catch, he leaps up over the safety and makes the catch. He's the crucial guy. He's the critical guy you need in your offense. The only guy more crucial to your offense is obviously Tom Brady. So it was huge to get him back for this game. He didn't look like he was hampered at all by the knee injury. He was wearing a brace on it. It was huge. I can't even really quantify how big it is to have Rob Gronkowski back for this team because yeah, you saw it. Look, they didn't need to rely on guys like, you know, an Amendola or a James White so much in this game because you just had Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, having Gronk out there, he's a difference maker. There's no one in the NFL that's like him who's, you know, 6'6", 265, who can catch the ball the way he does and run the way he does. He's a defensive nightmare for other teams and coordinators and coaches. You can't cover him with just one guy. You know, you'll have to put, you know, he's too big for safeties. But you know, and too quick for linebackers. You know, you said the touchdown. He just out-jumped, out big. You know, the safety. You know, he can't cover him on that. A fade route to Gronk in the end zone is going to work. You know, 9 out of 10 times. That one time will, you know, they'll probably call a pass interference call on Gronk. That's what the league's, you know, likes to do nowadays. But yeah, like you said, he had that big first down for the 45-yard game. The first. You know, that was huge. You could just show, you know, he was getting separation, didn't look limped up on that knee at all. Like you said, he had that. He's the bionic man at this point right now. He's got the knee brace, the arm brace, he's everything. You know, just makes it a little harder to tackle him. But, you know, having him out there is just so crucial to this offense. You know, like you said, don't have to rely on guys like James White, Amendola, LaFell, Martin as much. And it creates more room and space for those guys having, you know, not having Amendola double team and having Gronk, you know, just take away some of those, you know, some of the defenders from him, creating more room, and even having him out in the blocking game is huge. He's a fantastic run blocker and pass blocker. So just having him, it just changed the whole dynamics of the offense as a whole.
Yeah, and you know, looking at the, you know, the spread of the wide receivers here, you know, Rob Gronkowski 4 catches, Danny Amendola 6 catches, James White 4 catches. Brandon LaFell, 5 catches. Keyshawn Martin, 3 catches. So, I mean, Tom Brady was spreading the ball around. Everybody was contributing. And I think, you know, last week you saw, you know, without Rob Gronkowski, that wasn't necessarily the case because you saw, like you said, they were doubling Amendola. They could focus more on the back coming out of the backfield. You know, Brandon LaFell was dropping balls all over the place. Did make a couple of critical drops again in this game. And I'm really starting to get tired of it, by the way. But, you know, you said it. Gronk changes the whole game. He changes the whole thing. You know, other guys can get more open now because you got to pay attention to Gronk. And you see it right here. You know, 4 catches, 6 catches, 4 catches, 5 catches, 3 catches. You know, spreading the ball around, that's Tom Brady's bread and butter. If he's doing that, if he's spreading the ball to all different guys, the defense doesn't know where to look. And that's when the Patriots are most dangerous. So, but you know, just to remind everybody, you can give us a call on the FanDuel phone lines at 929-477-2386. We're taking your calls throughout the show. Let's talk a little bit about the defense again. Just going back to, you know, the front seven and how well they play. We already mentioned that, but, you know, I was really impressed with the secondary play. Logan Ryan, like we mentioned at the top of the show, going up against, you know, one of the top receivers in the NFL in DeAndre Hopkins. And aside from the, you know, 40-yard reception late in the game, you know, the guy was only targeted six times, three catches for 52 yards. And we said, we mentioned, the, you know, the 40-yard catch. He was shut down for the most of the game by Logan Ryan with some safety help. You know, Daron Harmon I saw, you know, shading over, playing safety. Devin McCourty doing it sometimes. But I also saw Logan Ryan matched up one-on-one with DeAndre Hopkins and making some plays on the ball and making some things happen. So, you know, I've been singing the praise of Logan Ryan for the past couple of weeks. I've been really impressed with him, you know, stepping up in big moments, you know, guarding big-time wide receivers like a Demaryius Thomas and like a DeAndre Hopkins in this game. So definitely good to see that from him. Malcolm Butler gets burned early on a big, you know, 49-yard catch. And that turned out to be Nate Washington's only catch of the game on Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler covered him the whole game and was on him like glue. It was, you know, and we've seen that from Malcolm Butler. He gets burned one play, or he gives up a touchdown on one play. And then for the rest of the game, you better not throw it near Malcolm Butler because you're not going to make a completion. So, again, huge to see him doing that. I was very impressed with the corners today. What'd you think, Bill?
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. Going back to Logan Ryan, he played fantastic tonight. You know, he's been playing really well these past few weeks. Last week against Philly, played well. You know, going back again, he pretty much shut down Demaryius Thomas 2 weeks ago against Denver. You know, tonight, DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best young wide receivers in the league. You know, he's been tearing up teams. I think he's third coming into this week. I think he was third in the league in receiving yards behind, you know, Antonio Brown and Julio Jones, who, you know, those guys are studs. Those guys are amazing. And, you know, a few weeks ago, he carved up the New York Jets secondary, just beat Darrell Revis, you know, before Revis left with an injury. You know, Ryan played great, you know, had the safety help with McCourty over the top at times. Also, like you said, times lined up one-on-one, no safety help. And he shut him down for the most part. You know, had, what, three receptions, I think. I can't remember how many receptions he had for the game, but he wasn't targeted much. And, you know, Ryan covered him fantastic. Going back to Butler, you know, he did get beat on that one deep ball. Made another deep ball to Washington, made a good play, getting deflecting the pass out of his hands. You know, and like you said, you know, you'll see this out of Butler. You know, he'll get beat on one play, let up a touchdown, let up a big gain, and then, you know, he'll be all over you for the rest of the game. Like, going back to a few weeks ago against the Giants, that first touchdown to Odell Beckham started the game, you know, I still think that was, you know, McCourty's fault, but overall, Odell was pretty much shut down for the rest of that point. And he's, you know, these two young guys are playing fantastic right now. I was, you know, coming into this year, I was down on Logan Ryan. You know, he played good a few years ago, his rookie season, struggled last year playing behind guys like Browner and Revis, you know, which is understandable. You know, you're not going to be those guys, especially he was his second year in the league. He's had a lot to learn, you know, but he's played fantastic. He had some struggles at the beginning of the year, but he's really stepped his game up. It's been huge for this New England secondary.
Yeah, like you said, very impressive game. I mean, I was the same way as you. Logan Ryan, I wasn't really huge on him coming into the year. You know, the only times you see him is when he's getting beat. That was, you know, really the book on him for, you know, last season especially. And he's really stepped up this year. He's, like I said, he's gone up against some really tough wide receivers, Demaryius Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, you know what I mean? He's covered some tough guys, so huge to see that. You know, obviously the McCourty injury is huge. We'll talk about that in a little bit when we talk about, you know, previewing next week a little bit. But just getting back to the front seven, some guys that you really didn't see, you know, having. I mean, Jabal Sheard had a, you know, big game, five tackles, two sacks, and a strip sack. So, you know, but Akeem Hicks, who, you know, only plays sparingly on the defensive line at defensive tackle, you know, had two sacks. Dominique Easley had the other sack, and Rob Ninkovich also had a sack. So, you know, you're getting pressure up the middle by Easley and Hicks, and you're also getting pressure on the edges by Sheard and Rob Ninkovich. So, I mean, that's huge. If you can attack a team, if you can rush up the middle and also come at them from the outside, the offensive line really has some tough decisions to make when they're, you know, pass protecting. And that's going to be huge, you know, going forward. The defensive line has been, the front seven really has been the best part of this defense for the entire season. I think we could both agree on that. I mean, Jerod Mayo has stepped up coming in, you know, for Dont'a Hightower. He had a big game tonight. He had 8 tackles, 7 solo tackles, and a tackle for loss. So, you know, that's vintage Jerod Mayo right there. That's, you know, 100 tackles in it plus in a season Jerod Mayo right there. So it's huge to see him making plays like that because, you know, we're still not sure about Dont'a Hightower. He's out with a knee injury. He's missed the last 2 games. You know, if Jerod Mayo keeps playing like this, maybe you let, you know, Hightower sit next week again and doesn't play against Tennessee. And then you see where he's at. Maybe you don't need him against the Jets. You know what I mean? Maybe you hold him out until the playoffs, like an Edelman situation. If Jerod Mayo keeps playing like this, you really have more flexibility. Now, obviously losing Jonathan Freeney, if that's going to be, you know, a long-term injury, that hurts your depth. But still, if I don't have any problem with Jerod Mayo and Jamie Collins being the core of the linebacking core. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. Going back to, you know, what you said earlier, they played fantastic tonight, this front 7. Hicks getting 2 sacks, and he almost had a 3rd on that one where, you know, that first fumble that was called back from Hoyer. You know, he was the one who was applying pressure right at Hoyer, which made him try getting rid of the ball. You know, then, you know, Sheard was just a monster out there tonight. 2 huge sacks, 4 fumbles, one which ended up us recovering in the goal in the red zone. And then, you know, the other was like a 20-yard loss, which really just changed, you know, put them out of field goal range and gave us the ball back. You know, Ninkovich coming off the outside. I still think Rob Ninkovich is the most underrated player in the NFL, in my opinion. You know, then easily coming, just playing very well, pride and pressure from the inside. Hopefully his injury isn't serious. He's been playing very well this year, especially this past few weeks. You know, like we said this last week, you know, this front 7 is this defense is at its best when they are getting after the quarterback. And we really saw that tonight, especially in the second half. You know, that's where I think the majority of their sacks came. You know, like the ones we just talked about, the two Sheard ones, the Ninkovich one, you know, it just changed the whole, it helps with these young corners. You know, we're saying how great these guys are playing, Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler. That helps when, you know, they're not giving the quarterback, when they're closing in the pocket, when they're not giving the quarterback time to throw. You know, they got to get rid of the ball quick, and, you know, they're holding their guys for, you know, a good amount of time getting coverage. So that helps a lot. Like, going back, and then, you know, Jerod Mayo, he played very well tonight. He's been stepping up his game this past few weeks without Dont'a Hightower in there. You know, especially after losing Freeney tonight, we're going to need him to continue playing, you know, playing well. Going back to his, you know, Jerod Mayo form 2010, when he was getting 100-plus tackles leading the league. You know, if Hightower's, you know, healthy enough, would obviously love to get him back because he's a difference maker. We saw that definitely in the run game early on when Houston was running the ball pretty well up the middle. But, you know, if not, sit him because, I'm confident in this defense where, especially next week against Tennessee, a team that, you know, struggled. They'll put up, I think, 7 points this week against the Jets. You know, their team, that's a very streaky team. You know, they'll put up a lot of points 1 week and then do nothing for the next 3. So they don't really have too many, you know, weapons on that team that really concern me too much. And so, you know, if Hightower, you know, if he's healthy to play, obviously love having him out there because he just changes the defense so much, makes it a lot better. But sit him if needed.
Yeah, you know, the Texans did rush for 87 yards in the game, but, you know, a lot of those came, you know, and it didn't really make a difference. I agree with what you're saying. You did see him get gashed for a couple long runs early in the game. Jonathan Grimes had a big 37-yard run. But for the most part, they really shut him down. They played a great game. The Titans, by the way, scored 8 points today. They lost 30-8 to the Jets. And we will preview we'll talk a little bit about the Tennessee Titans coming to town to face the New England Patriots. Patriots' final home game of the season. Next week, but first we'll get a word from FanDuel. Listen up, NBA fans. The season is back, and so is one-day fantasy action over at FanDuel.com. If you think you know basketball, you can prove it at FanDuel.com. Now, you know, I love FanDuel. I'm sure we all love FanDuel. It's a bunch of fun. You know, you play one-day games. You can play in big tournaments and small tournaments. You can go head-to-head. You can do whatever you want. I've been stuck on football, you know, for the most part, especially after my season-long fantasy team got eliminated from the playoffs. So I still haven't really gotten into the basketball. I just can't find my way there yet. I really don't get into the fantasy basketball until about Christmas time, but you know, still a ton of players out there that you can grab. One-day fantasy basketball leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. You pick a team of 9 players with just players from tonight's games. Payouts will be in your account the next morning. You can play every day or whenever you want. Like I said, leagues start at just $1, and you know it can pay to be a fan finally. So, you know, obviously there's a ton of the big stars that you can go out and get. You can grab your Kevin Durant, your Steph Curry's, your Anthony Davis's. But I think you should go after some Celtics players, too. I mean, the Celtics have been playing really well lately. You know, Avery Bradley's really been finding his lane scoring. Isaiah Thomas is a great scorer. So don't discriminate. Get some Celtics guys, too. Don't just stick with those big-time stars. But FanDuel isn't just for huge tournaments. You can play against your friends any night you want. Just create a private league, and you can let the trash talk begin. Join over 1 million other fans who have already won money playing fantasy sports on FanDuel.com. And we got a special offer for you guys. If you go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use my code Celtics, you can sign up now. FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar for dollar for up to $200. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code Celtics. That's C-E-L-T-I-C-S, Celtics. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. Sign up today. So, like I mentioned, the Titans lost today to the New York Jets, 30-8. You know, Marcus Mariota threw for 274 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. The only touchdown they scored came on a kind of a fluky halfback pass. Antonio Andrews takes the handoff, throws it back to Marcus Mariota, who scores the 41-yard touchdown. You know, but for the most part, the Titans were, you know, how the Titans are. They don't have the offensive weapons to really score a lot of points. They also don't have the defensive players to stop you from scoring a lot of points. So, you know, they're 3-10 on the season. They, you know, even in the awful AFC South, they are out of it. So, you know, this game for me is really going to be about watching Marcus Mariota. You know, I've kind of been intrigued by him. I watched him play in college, and I like his style. So that's really what it's about for me. I don't know. I haven't found a way to get psyched up for this game yet. I guess the biggest offensive threat for the Titans is Delanie Walker, who had 7 catches for 71 yards today. But you know, for the most part, they don't really have any. They rushed 13 times for 24 yards against the New York Jets, who are a good defense. But, you know, the Patriots are just as good of a defense, in my opinion. And, you know, if you can shut down Delanie Walker, they have nothing. And that sounds like a job for Jamie Collins to me. But what are your thoughts on the Titans, Bill? Just, you know, long view looking at them. You know, we haven't really seen them much on TV or anything this year, so I can't really get a feel for them yet. But, you know, Mariota is the only real draw for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I was a Mariota fan of him in college, so that'll be cool seeing him. But, you know, I really don't think it's going to be too much of a challenge. Hopefully, you know, we don't see the Patriots play down to their opponent like we've seen, you know, in the years past. But, yeah, like, offensive-wise for their weapons, you know, Delanie Walker, you know, is pretty good tight end, one of the better ones in the league receiving-wise. You know, then, you know, Dorial Green-Beckham drafted him second round this year, so, you know, big target. He's had some big games, but also disappeared. You know, he's not been a consistent for them at all. So, you know, maybe just seeing how, you know, our corners can match up against, you know, a bigger receiver. Guy was, you know, he's like 6'5", 6'6", 240. So that'll be a good intriguing matchup, I think. Something to just, you know, maybe see, look forward to. You know, if we, you know, face Cincinnati down in the playoffs, who has someone like A.J. Green, 6'4", who can really go up and get the ball. So I think that'll be a good little test to see, you know, if that happens. If he is out there making a contribution for their offense.
Yeah, and, you know, looking at, you know, talking about the Titans' defense, looking at the stats for the Jets, the offensive stats, it looks like they just got absolutely lit up. I mean, Chris Ivory, 101 yards rushing in this game. Brandon Marshall had 125 receiving yards and a touchdown. Eric Decker, 7 catches for 74 and a touchdown. Bilal Powell, 5 catches for 46 and a touchdown. So, I mean, the Tennessee Titans don't really have that any guy on defense that you're afraid of. I'm looking at their their defensive players who had recorded tackles in this game, and literally the only name I can recognize is Wesley Woodyard, and he's not that good of a player. You know what I mean? So, like you said, I can't really find a way to get psyched up for this game. You know, the only reason I think the Patriots, like you said, hopefully they don't play down to their opponent. I don't think they will, simply because the Jets are quietly right on your tail. You know what I mean? They're three games back with, you know, a loss in the bank, right? So if the Jets win out at 11-5, the Patriots can't be losing games. And, you know, they play each other one more time. So I think the Patriots are going to want to, you know, really put their foot on the gas, get this win under their belt. Now they're still a solid three games up on the Jets going into New York. And then at that point, you've clinched. You know, the Jets have to get in a wild card, and, you know, they can't afford to lose any more games either. So I think the Patriots try to put their foot on the throat in this game against Tennessee. I think they come out, and I think they have to execute on all three phases. We're talking special teams. They can't drop any more punts. They can't get punts blocked or anything like that. It's infuriating to watch because, like you said, we've seen the Patriots be so good on special teams for the past 15 years. It's been stressed forever here. And to see them, you know, three games in a row have a special teams error, that's not good. And it definitely can't happen as we go further and further, getting closer to and then into the playoffs. One special teams error can ruin your season in an instant. So that has to be cleaned up. But like you said, I really can't get psyched up for this game.
Yeah, no, it's obviously a tougher game to, you know, get, you know, as heated up for than, you know, in week 16 against the Jets, a division opponent who's playing very well right now, who's fighting for that sixth playoff spot in the wild card. You know, going up against, you know, compared to a team like Tennessee, who's 3-10. So I agree with you there. You know, it'll be definitely good to, you know, to see if they can fix some of those. You know, those proponents of the game, they've been struggling with these past few weeks. Most importantly, special teams, you know, just hold on to the damn ball. Don't put it on the ground. You know, just don't give away opportunities to, you know, to the other team to get your offense off the field and put the defense in tough situations, you know, in the red zone, in 30, you know, 25-yard line. You know, just giving up 3 points. You know, like you said, they don't really have too much of a – not a great great defense. So, you know, it'll be good, you know, maybe not get Brady to get hit as much, maybe get some of those guys healthy on the line like Klein. And then just overall health will be key. You know, I think it's a great point that from brought up earlier. I think we definitely should sit Hightower, you know, going up against the Jets in New York week 16. You know, definitely, you know, a better offense with, you know, guys like Powell and Ivory out of the backfield the next week with Antonio Andrews and Bishop Sankey.
Yeah, Antonio Andrews rushed for 8 yards in this game on 4 carries. Bishop Sankey did not record a touch in this game. So, I mean, like you said, the only thing I'm starting to think about it now, I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm trying to find things. That's what I'm grasping at straws, and I'm saying, well, the Patriots in the past have had some issues with running quarterbacks. You know what I mean? They had some issues with Cam Newton a couple years ago. You know, they had some issues with Aaron Rodgers, keeping him in the pocket and things like that. So Mariota, really mobile guy. You know, you can't let them escape outside and, you know, make a big play on you and get the momentum going forward. But, you know, you could always spy him with a guy like Jamie Collins if you're not putting Collins on a Delanie Walker. You know, Patrick Chung has been really good in coverage over the past few weeks. So maybe you make it Chung's job to cover Delanie Walker. And, you know, you have Jamie Collins as more of the spy, you know, making sure the quarterback doesn't get out of the backfield. So that's really all I can think of. I can think of, you know, the Patriots, like I said, they've had some issues with mobile quarterbacks in the past. Maybe that could be an issue coming into this game. But like I said, I think the Patriots really, I think they're going to try to put their foot on the gas in this game. I think they're going to try to get another win in the bank. They'll be 12-2. And at that point, you know, clinch the division. You are almost assured a bye, at least in the first round, and possibly guaranteed home field advantage depending on how Denver goes and how the Cincinnati game goes. So it's, you know, and Denver has Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is as on fire as any team in the entire league this year. So it's going to be, you know, up in the air. I think the Patriots are, if they win this game against Tennessee, now they can sit back, they can look. It puts more pressure on Denver. It puts more pressure on a Cincinnati Bengals team without Andy Dalton. And, you know, that's going to be the key, because we've already talked about it. We've said it, and we've been saying it for a while now. You need that first round bye. It's going to benefit Jamie Collins. It's going to benefit, you know, Dante Hightower. It's going to benefit Julian Edelman. It's going to benefit Rob Gronkowski. It's going to benefit everybody. You know what I mean? All the offensive linemen, you know, everyone who's been banged up, nicked up throughout the course of the year. You know, Devin McCourty, if you lose him for any length of time. Jonathan Freeney, if you lose him for any length of time. So you're really going to need to put wins in the bank at this point. And you said it, you know, going into New York, you know, that's a tough game. Going down into Miami, that's usually a tough game. So you're going to need to grab as many wins as you can get. If you drop one of these last two against either, you know, a divisional game against the Jets or the Dolphins, which we all know is possible, you know, you're going to need to have this win in the bank.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Jets in Miami always play us tough, especially when we travel to their places. So yeah, definitely this game will definitely be a big one just to get, you know, get one in the win column, and especially week 16 will be big because we play New York, who will be, you know, obviously play as hard, obviously fighting for their lives for the rest of the season, and then Cincinnati and Denver playing. So that'll be huge. You know, we can get away with that victory. We, you know, we could be up two games, you know, as the number one seed. Say if one of those two teams loses this upcoming week with going up against Pittsburgh, or, you know, Cincy with their backup quarterback, and the other losing the following week, you know, that'd be put them at four losses for the year while we only have two. You know, that'd be huge. And then that Miami game looks, you know, not as more serious. Maybe sit a few more guys last year like they did in Buffalo against the Buffalo week 17. Just sit some guys, get them healthy, give them that, you know, an extra week off, 2 week bye in early instead of just that 1 week. You know, at this point, this team could really use it with all the injuries they've been getting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you can have an extra week to have Edelman, you know, Edelman's already back at practice. We've Edelman back at practice this week, limited. So, you know, the fact that he's even moving around right now on his broken foot is a great sign. If you can let him, you know, rest him the rest of the regular season, give him that extra week going into the playoffs, then you have almost a full strength team coming into the second round of the playoffs, facing off. And I don't even feel that nervous about playing a Pittsburgh or, you know, a Denver or something like that. If you have Edelman, Gronk, you know, all these guys fully healthy, your offensive line's fully healthy, Dante Hightower's back, Devin McCourty's back. If you got all these guys back and you have to go up against the Pittsburgh, who in my opinion is the hottest team in the league right now, I don't feel as nervous about that. So, like you said, the bye is huge. And, you know, a win in Tennessee gets you that much closer. A win in the New York almost guarantees it because, like you said, Denver or Cincinnati is going to lose that game because they're playing each other. So that's a critical game to watch. If Pittsburgh can somehow beat, you know, Denver next week, which is entirely possible, then you have the record over Denver. You have the record over Cincinnati. Those two teams play each other. You still have a winning record over both of them. And, you know, so really, you know, as much as you hate to say it, you kind of want to root for Pittsburgh next week to beat Denver. And then all of a sudden, no matter really what the outcome of that Denver-Cincinnati game is, if you beat the Jets in week 16, you're looking at a first-round bye. So, you know, you need some things to roll your way, but you also kind of control your own destiny because you have to win these games. So you can't afford another loss. You know, you have to assume that one of those teams is going to win out and finish the season with three losses. You have to go about it like that because, like you said, you cannot play down to Tennessee. You know, they're a bad team. They've already lost 10 games. They're probably going to fire their interim coach that they got going on there. You know, some things are going to happen. They're a young team. They got a young quarterback. But you can't sleep on them. You know, crazier things have happened, right? So, and we've seen, you know, small things, you know, blocked punt return for touchdown. You know, they have some speed demons on that team. Like you said, Doriel Green Beckham is a threat. Dexter McCluster is a threat in the return game. So you still can't overlook them. You need to get this win in the bank going into week 16. Then you're feeling really good at 12-2, playing a Jets team that Man, that's going to be a tough game. I can't wait to look forward to that game after this Tennessee game.
Yeah, absolutely. Going up against New York will be a tough game. You know, it was a tough game the first week, the first time we played them this year. And going up with so much more on the line at this point of the year, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a hard game. It's going to be a great game to watch. You know, I believe the Patriots are a way better team than the Jets, and you know they'll go into New York and get that victory. But the Jets are playing pretty good right now. Brandon Marshall's playing like his old self, playing great. Eric Decker's playing, you know, showing his signs of, you know, when he was back in Denver being that number two option, being a great probably one of the best number two options in the league. And you know, Fitzpatrick has been playing pretty well. And then that run game has been good with the 1-2 punch they have in Ivory and Powell. And of course, you know, then they have that very good defense. That's, you know, hasn't been with Revis back there. You know, it's though he's not the same Revis as he once was. He's still, you know, one of the best corners in the league. And they had that very good front four with Williams, Muhammad Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson, and Damon Harrison.
Yeah, you're going to want Blunt back for that game, definitely. Even, you know, I know they didn't run the ball against the Jets a lot in the first matchup, but still, you're going to want him back. You're going to want to at least have some sort of a physical presence in the run game against a dominant run defense like the Jets. So, you know, that's going to be huge. Real quick, Bill, before we get out of here, do you have a score for the Patriots Titans game?
Oh God. 34-3. I don't know. tough to predict something like that. You know, you made up that great point a little while ago, you know, against this team, how we've struggled against mobile QBs in the past. You know, we've even seen Geno Smith beat us a decent amount, you know, just on his legs and just creating plays in the pocket. I think they've done very well this year. You know, going up against Tyrod Taylor twice so far, who's, you know, a run-first quarterback, really, his mentality, but can move around the pocket. So, you know, I don't think this game is going to be close at all. You know, I'd hope, you know, William doesn't play down to Tennessee's level, like we said. We've seen him do it before. Hopefully it doesn't happen. I don't think it will. Don't think this game's going to be really close at all.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you, pretty much. I'm going to give Tennessee a touchdown. I think that at some point that Marcus Mariota will get free and rush for a touchdown. I think he is a really good mobile quarterback like that. So, but I don't think this Tennessee defense has any way to stop the New England Patriots, especially, you know, with Gronk back in the lineup and everything like that. So, yeah, I'm on the same page. I'm saying 35-7. That's 35-7. I think it's, like you said, I think it's a blowout. I think that the Patriots try to put their foot on the throat, try to get that first round bye, try to get home field advantage throughout, and get their guys healthy. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Tennessee next week, 1:00, the Patriots' final home game of the season. As we said, the Patriots win today 27-6 over the Houston Texans, improved to 11-2 on the season. Texans dropped to 6-7. They themselves have a big matchup with the Indianapolis Colts in division, who are also 6-7 next week. So that division is still up in the air. But Patriots have all but locked up their division. Two more division games to go, so we don't want to say it's definite yet, but, you know, they're looking good. The offense looks like it's starting to find its groove again. Rob Gronkowski, as we mentioned, huge, critical component to the offense. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be tough next week. We'll see how it goes. We'll be here after the game, as always, CLNS Radio Patriots postgame show. Be sure to call us on the FanDuel phone lines, 929-477-2386. Once again, Patriots beat the Houston Texans 27-6 on Sunday Night Football, improving to 11-2. They'll play their final home game of the season next week against the Tennessee Titans. And we'll be here right afterwards. So until then, for Bill Bodell, my name is Mike Alonji. Thank you guys so much for listening to CLNS Radio Patriots postgame show.
Sports Talk Radio, CLNS Radio.